pre-flood technology, and the world was huge back then. The population was huge. But God judged it. And he gave them different languages, and they couldn't communicate, and God broke it up. And so people may get together and feel powerful. The Bible tells us that there is a one-world government coming. There is a one-world system. We were talking about the real ID. Well, we already have an ID, but why is there a real ID? I always want to look into things. I always am skeptical because I know Satan wants control. And he wants there to be a one-world government, a one-world economy. It's the mark of the beast system. And I believe that God has heard our prayers to put that on delay, and I'm continuing to pray for that. But at the same time, I'm watching. And listen, Jesus Christ is going to intervene. He did it with the Tower of Babel. He wouldn't allow it. And he's not going to allow this one. It won't even last for 3.5 years. It will be cut short. You say, what will cut it short? Jesus himself, he's coming. And he said, you're persecuting my people? I'm stopping you right now. And he's going to turn out the lights. And so I'm just saying that separation goes against our desire to be socially accepted and go along. But the Bible says that though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. And I want to say this evening that God Almighty is a separatist. Last week we saw, and one of the men could tell me, what is the first thing that God did in the Bible, one of the men, to show that he was a separatist. And I'll go right to Jose. Amen.
Book of Genesis chapter 1.
Yes.
Separated light from dark.
Amen and amen. He separated the light from the darkness. And that was the first act of separation. And that had a message in it. And then he made day and night. And that has a message. And the Bible says that if you're saved, you're a child of the day. If you're not saved, you're a child of the night. That is a separation that God set. And so God is a separatist. So tonight, either you're a child of the night and in spiritual darkness or in deception, or you're a child of light. And we saw there must be separation between those two, and God has separated the one from the other. Now, what does Satan want to do? He wants to mix the two. He wants to mix light and dark and come out with gray. I don't like gray. If it's supposed to be white, it's supposed to be white. I don't want it to be gray. Amen? Now, Satan is a mixer and a compromiser. And so the second sermon tonight deals mainly with the reason for separation, the why of it. But we're also going to explain the how you're separated. So the series is Careful Separation. The second sermon I've entitled The Main Reasons for Your Separation. If you're going to be a separatist, you should know why. And you should also know how. So for the how of it, firstly, God tells you how you are separated. And I think this is confusing a lot of times to people, but this is very important. How are you separated? And the Bible says this, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, separated unto the gospel of God. And so Paul was separated, and according to what I just read, what was the key ingredient that separated Paul from others that didn't have what he had? What was it in the scripture I just read? The what? Thank you, Matt.
Calling of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the gospel. The good news. Separated. I'll read it again just so you can focus in on it. Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, separated unto the gospel of God. So he was separated unto the gospel and separated by the gospel. So God tells you, first of all, how you're separated. Now, I want to say that in a negative sense, first of all. The apostle was not separated by how he was brought up. He was brought up a Pharisee. He said it himself, the strictest of the Jewish sect. He was an Orthodox, as strict as they get. Now, that kind of strict religious upbringing is not what separates you from others unto God. Let me say that again. That kind of religious, strict religious upbringing is not what separates you from others. And if you rely on that for separation, it's going to fail you. It's going to fail you. And the apostle was brought up a Pharisee, but he was not separated unto God. I was brought up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I was brought up in the Dutch Reformed Church called the Christian Reformed Church. Very strict. They would close businesses on Sunday. You were not allowed to work on Sunday. You had to wear a suit and a tie on Sunday. And I was playing hooky, and I was dressed in blue jeans and playing around on Sunday, which I hated Sunday because I couldn't play around. And I saw my friends coming back from church with their suits on and their ties. I was just a little kid, and I dove behind a bush so they wouldn't see me. Now, externally, you know, I went through the separation, but that creates hypocrisy. If that's what separates you, and that's what you're boasting in for your separation, you're going to be a hypocrite. And God does not speak kindly of hypocrisy in the Word of God. It's a work of the flesh. And hypocrisy is part of dead religion. It has a lot of rules, a lot of regulations, but that will never separate you from the world system unto God and unto the program of God. I mentioned last week Tony Hudson. He was the son of Dr. Curtis Hudson, and he was raised in an independent fundamental Baptist church in the South. Nothing better than that. And Tony Hudson, he jokes and he says, I was raised on drugs. He said, I was drugged to church Sunday morning. I was drugged to church Sunday evening. I was drugged to church on Wednesday. Now, nothing wrong with that. Amen. Matthew, you probably were too. And he was, but he got onto drugs and really messed himself up big time. So that didn't separate him. It wasn't his upbringing. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. Tony Hudson did it, and thank God he is separated. Matt did it, and thank God he is separated. And there's an advantage to that. There's an advantage to the Jew, much in every way. Gives you more opportunity to get separated. Amen? But we're talking negatively what doesn't separate you. Listen to me well. And positively, we're going to get into what does separate you. So I'm saying that I was raised to go to church, Christian school. I went to Sunday school. But my worst days of the week were church days. My worst days of the week were Sunday. I hated Sunday. And you say, why? Because you got to go to church. Got to go to Sunday school. And I don't care whether you're Baptist, whether you're Protestant, whether you're Catholic. I just talked tonight to a lady, Jehovah Witness, and she got saved. Brother Joe, through you and Bruce, because she had a right testimony, got saved. And I know you guys visited her. Nancy, her name is. Talked to her. She needed some teaching on the Trinity. We started into that, and I got cut off on the phone, but I look forward to talking to her. She's been out to church. But I'm just saying that if you're raised Catholic, Protestant, Jehovah's Witness, Fundamental Baptist. Many kids raised in Fundamental Baptist churches. But if that doesn't separate you, then that begs the question, then what makes me separated from the darkness of this world? And I want to get into separation positively speaking. And I want to say that true separation, according to Romans 1:1, and the Apostle Paul said it, is through the gospel of Jesus Christ and through faith in the Jesus Christ of the gospel. That is what brings separation. Now, there are a lot of people, and I talked to one the other day, possibly a young person, and goes to this church and has been having trouble. And I said, are you really saved? Well, I'm saved. And I said, you know, have you had a change in your life since you got saved? No, not really. And I said, well, you need to question that salvation, because when you believe the gospel, it will make a difference in your life. And Paul talked about the gospel is what separated him. And it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, separated unto the gospel of God. And praise the Lord for that. In fact, we need that in our lives. And so Paul had a fake separation as a religious Jew, but he was still in darkness and blind. In fact, he was so dark, listen to me, that he was such a separatist that he was trying to kill Christians. He helped to kill Stephen. And he arrested Christians. And I'm just saying, there are Muslims today all over the world. They're separated, and they're orthodox according to their fundamental doctrine of the Quran. And yet, they are in darkness. Satanic darkness. And you know, wherever Muslims come, my son Brian sent me a text and he said, you know, when Muslims are in the minority, it says we should give them a fair shake and give them freedom and give them opportunity. But when they're in the majority, it's like be a Muslim or die. And that happens wherever the Muslim religion goes. So you got to think about that if you're an American. Amen. And so true separation isn't that. True separation, you see, happened to Paul. When did it happen to Paul? When he was on his way north up to Syria to arrest Christians, and suddenly he was separated. You say, what separated him? He met the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Have you met him? If you haven't, you're not separated by being an independent fundamental Baptist upbringing. You have to meet Jesus Christ. And if you meet Jesus Christ, what's the first thing that he showed Paul? He was blind and he turned off the lights. And I personally don't believe Paul got justified until he got with Ananias. I believe he met Jesus and went under conviction. I believe there was a regenerating work of the Spirit. But I believe he was under conviction and he realized, you're a self-righteous Pharisee. You're not worthy of salvation. He was convicted and he was trembling and he didn't eat. I think it was for 3 days. He was blind. He was told, you know, that he was going to go to Ananias, or Ananias was told, sorry, he was going to go to Paul, and he gave him the truth, and Paul believed. Now, you say, he did say, Lord, what would you have me to do? I think that was more like, boss, what would you have me to do? He knew there was a Jesus, but I believed and was justified. And you say, why? Well, right there he got baptized. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's when it happened. And I'm just saying to you tonight, that separated the man. And he was radically changed. You say, how about you, Pastor? I was brought up like that. I hated Sunday. I hated church. When I went to Muskegon, Michigan in 1967, June 16 on a Friday, I was under conviction reading the King James Bible from my great-grandmother's Bible. I said, I'm going to hit split hell wide open. For the first time, I realized for sure I'm going to hell. I believe that was Jesus showing me that. But I wasn't yet believing in him. But when my grandma was talking about Jesus dying on the cross and the curtain split, it was like the lights came on. And I realized I was, by faith, in a personal relationship with God himself. And I realized God was gracious to me, that my sins were taken care of by Jesus. And now I love God. Now I wanted to go to church. Now I wanted to hear the word. A If you don't want to go, and there's either you're very sick or you're not saved. And I'm just saying, there's a hunger that I had for the Word of God. And I was born again and separated. You say, well, you were separated? Yeah, the Bible says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. See, when you believe on Christ, you understand that he died on that cross and he rose again and you believe upon him. But you may not understand you died too, as far as what you were. You died. You might not understand that. It doesn't matter. It makes a radical difference in your life. It will make a radical difference because you can't divorce justification from sanctification that follows. And so you died with Christ, you were buried with Christ, you were raised with Christ, and that makes a radical difference. And now you're separated from being in Adam, being what you used to be, and now you're not going to hell. Hey, man, you're going to heaven, but it's more than that. Not only are you not going to hell, you're going to heaven, but now you can't live like hell. There's a difference. And it has an effect on you. And so we're talking about the main reasons for your separation. But first of all, I wanted to go over how you are separated from most others in this world. You say, what are you talking about? The Broadway leads to destruction. Many there be that lead either way. We want to see as many people saved as we can. And Paul did too. And we should. But we still know no matter how hard we try, we're not going to win the world. The Bible doesn't teach that. We're going to get some out of the world. As many as we can. Amen. And that's why we want to fill this place twice. Not to have a big church and you just got more problems. But more people to get saved. And not just to go to heaven, but to be separated by believing in Christ and being united to Christ. And so that is how you're separated. Number two. And secondly and lastly, God tells you why you're separated. I want to go over three things real quickly why you are to be a separatist and why you are separated, okay? And here it is. Let me read Titus 2:13 and 14. It says, the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us. Let's stop right there. I believe that's the first reason why you're separated. Does one of the men know what redeemed us means? That God, through Jesus, redeemed us? What is that, redeemed us?
Buy us back?
Yes. I love that. To buy us back. You know, we can buy a power wash if we have the money and we're willing to give it. But can you buy somebody back from Satan? Can you buy somebody back? You say, oh, my kids, I'll raise them right. They'll be, but no, you can't do it, parent. You should raise them right. Bible says it. Bring up the child the way he should go. But that won't separate them. You have to be bought and money won't do it. By the way, I didn't plan to put this in here, but it's an unpaid for announcement. You're not going to make America great and free America by politics. It's going to be by a separated people who pray. So Jerry Falwell made that mistake. He couldn't get America by preaching, he felt, so he created the moral majority and got together with the Moonies back then, and that was Moonies was a big religion, and all these other groups, and he said, we've got a moral majority in America, let's just join with them, let's make that our key to fellowship. And instead of organizing the church into bus captains, he did political precinct captains. Now, there's a place, and we do that for voting, and I asked Brother Bob to help us with that. I don't deny that. That's a responsibility. We need to do that. But that's not the main thing. And we shouldn't be hobnobbing with the world. And you won't find me hobnobbing with the world. I'll come and pray. I'll do a little bit. But I'm not going to hobnob, because I'm not going to leave my place where there's power to step down. Now, I'm not saying God can't call a Christian into politics. He's not going to get me into it, because I'm called to be a pastor. Okay? And I believe in the call of God to the ministry. And I can tell when somebody's called to God. I can tell he's called to God. I can tell it. I can tell he's called to God. I can tell it. You say, why doesn't he point to me? Well, I could, but I don't want to just keep going. Just giving an illustration. But the first reason why you should be separated is what he just said. You've been bought. You say, who bought me? God bought you. You say, well, what did he pay for me? How much? More than you're worth. Somebody said, I'd like to buy you for what you're worth and sell you for what you think you're worth. You are worth nothing. As my dad used to say, you're worth sick'em. He didn't say that, but he used the word sick'em. Means nothing. You say, well, then why did God pay for me when I was worthless? Because he wanted you to know how great he is and how sick you are. That's right. That's right. That's the Bible. And what did he pay for you? The blood of his son. You know, we have people in our church that have had sons that have gone to be with the Lord, and the pain of that. He was willing to have his son be murdered at the hands of wicked men, and violently his blood be shed, and to watch it all. And the son was willing to pay with his own blood. You got to love somebody to be willing to pay with your blood. And so that's the first reason for separation. It says here in Titus, because he might redeem us. And think of the little boy. You've heard the story. I've told it. He built a boat, a huge sailboat, big thing with popsicle sticks. And he and his father built that thing and put it together, made it watertight, waterproof. Then they painted it. Then they put big sails on it. And they took it out and they would sail it in the ocean. And it was beautiful. And they would be able to pull it in and let it go way out there and pull it in. But one day they were sailing it and the thing got loose from the thing, and somebody broke the cord, and it was sailing off, and they lost the boat. They lost the boat. And later on, you know, the father was telling the son, keep looking for it. Go into pawn shops. Keep looking for it. And they traveled far and wide, and finally they found the boat in a pawn shop. And the guy was charging a lot of money. And the son came back and said, Dad, I found the boat. I want the boat back. And Dad said, yeah, I want it back too. But he said, would you be willing, son, to work for it? To pay that bill? And the son said, Dad, I'll do it. Father said, yeah, that'd be great. And he worked and worked and saved his money and saved his money. And he went to the pawn dealer and he bought the boat back. And there it was. And he was holding it proudly. And he said, now you're mine twice. First, because we made you, and second, because I bought you. And that is getting into the second reason for separation, which we'll get into. But the first reason is he redeemed you. He paid a tremendous price. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's. Do you realize that? Do you live in the consciousness of that? You know, I was talking to Nancy about the Trinity, because she believes in the Father being God. Now she believes in the Son being God against you. But she has problems with the Holy Spirit. I said, well, the Holy Spirit is God too. I said, you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. She said, where's that scripture? She was driving her. I said, Matthew 28:19. Look it up when you get home. So pray for her to get it. But you know what? We're bought. We're bought by the Son. And the Father sent the Son. But what about the Holy Spirit? We're brought by the Holy Spirit. Did you hear me? We're brought. You know, the Holy Spirit is the hound of heaven. He's the hound of heaven. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're like a bloodhound. You know, you ever seen people chased by bloodhounds? How many have seen that? You get the bloodhounds, let them smell you, and they'll keep after you until they find you. And let's say there's a guy that's guilty of a crime, and he's running away, and the bloodhounds are after him. But he doesn't realize the reason why the bloodhounds are after him is he's been found innocent. He's no longer convicted. They know he's on the run, and they want to find him and bring him back to bless him and let him know you don't have to be out there where you can be killed. You know, that's the way it was with us. The Father sent his Son. The Son paid the price. And now he's sending the bloodhound out. If I might reverently say, the Holy Spirit of God, to find you and to bring you in. Could there be somebody here tonight? You're raised in an independent fundamental Baptist church like Cana. I always say Cana of Galilee. I think of that. Cana, young lady, talking to her father, what, Monday night, about the Lord, and realized she needed to be saved and put her faith in Jesus. She's getting baptized tonight, right? She's going to get baptized tonight. That's what we need. We need the work of the Father. We need the work of the Son. We need the work of the Holy Spirit. We need all three. I don't know about you, but I needed all three persons of the Godhead to be involved in getting me. Thank God for that. And that's the first reason why you're separated from the rest of the world that doesn't have that, that hasn't received that redemption price. But there's a second reason why you're separated. It's in Titus 2:13-14. I'll go on. He says, the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify, don't miss this, unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Do you see the two words, unto himself? You see, the second reason why you and I are to be separated, and it's hot in here. Are you hot? The second reason, usually I'm complaining it's too cold. The second reason why we are separated is because he redeemed us to be his own prized possession. I remember one time I was first married, some guy bumped into my wife, guys were fighting, and I just took the guy, hey, don't bump her. Now, I thought, man, that was a little bit brutal of me, the way I did that, but my wife liked it. She said, I like it that you took care of me. But I'm just saying that you're God's possession. And He's got you unto himself. You see that? A peculiar people. That means special. Just for him. Right. Just for God. And he's somebody that cares for you. So notice that. And so his second reason that he has separated you, because he loves you very specially, and he wants you only for himself in a special way. And that love and that purpose in your life is described in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. It says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. What does that mean? That means that before the world was, God saw you. And what did he see? Since he knows the future, he has foreknowledge. Did he see you, this good person, that would be willing to accept him? No, he saw you, a wretched sinner, fallen, because you had free will in Adam, and he knew you would lose that, and he had foreknowledge. What does that mean? He looked upon you with the desire to love you and to show you favor. You say, why? I don't know. It certainly wasn't anything in you, I can tell you that, with no fear of contradiction tonight. You say, I don't like that. That's tough. And you know what? He not only foreknew you in that way, but he loved you and he chose you. Now, I would hate to be told I have to have this person and you got to marry this person. I want to marry who I want to marry. Nothing wrong with that. I don't want a shotgun wedding. Amen. And so the Father sent the Son to redeem you by paying that price, and he redeemed you unto himself, and it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of what? His will. So what did he do? He not only chose you to be his, but to adopt you into his family, so that you are now a joint heir with his virgin-born son to own the world. You say, why? It would be just enough to not put me in hell and let me be in heaven. Yeah, but he didn't want to do it that way. When God does something, he does it really good. He's so generous. He's so good. He's so gracious. And so that is a second reason for your separation. Not only did God pay a great price for you, but God did that to possess you for himself. And what does that mean? It means that God is jealous of you. I want to say tonight, he's jealous of anything or anyone that causes you not to be fully for him. And a preacher is not worth his salt if he's not jealous for his people. Where is that? 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1 and following. You can read about it, the Apostle Paul. I'm jealous for you. I've espoused you to one husband. I don't want anybody messing with you. I don't want the world getting in your family. I don't want the world getting in your life. Why? Because you are a special possession of God. He loves you with a jealous love. You say, oh, where's that in the Bible? Exodus 20, verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. God saw his people bowing down to idols. And if I can compare it, it compares to the fornication of a mate with somebody they shouldn't be for, and bowing down to that person. By the way, that's why I have a problem with yoga. It's a religion. And they have all these postures where you get into it, but it's associated with a false religion. By the way, India and Pakistan are ready to have a nuclear war. Why? Because China is trying to stop Trump. And China's for Pakistan, who are Muslim. And China is not Muslim, but therefore Pakistan. And Trump has just made a bunch of things with India to try to deal with China and all of this, which are great moves. But that's how they're trying to blow it up. So we got to pray. But I'm just saying that yoga is tied in with that. I tell women, don't get involved in yoga. A lot of women get deceived by it and get involved in it, because you're going into those postures, and God's a jealous God. I don't believe he wants yoga. I've told you the story many times, and I've had people text it to me. They got it out of the paper in the Grand Rapids Press. But when I went into Myers up there in 28th Street in Kalamazoo, my dad saw a man. He pointed him out to me. He had glasses. He just looked like a clerk, a bank clerk, just a calm guy. And he said, that's J. Otto Peebles. And he said, let me tell you, that guy, he was arrested for murder. I said, what happened? He said, he shot his wife and her lover dead when he got home from work. She was bowing down to that man, if you know what I mean. And poof, 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 he got off. The court said, this was in the early 60s. Basically, we understand it. You were temporarily in a jealous rage. Well, God is jealous of you. Because you're his chosen bride, his son and your husband gave the blood to marry you for himself. Exodus 34:14 says, "For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God." Wow. That's a second reason to be separated from anything that makes God jealous. And let me tell you, he's holy. Deuteronomy 4:24, God says, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." Do you understand that? You have a jealous lover. You say, isn't that wrong? No, it's not wrong. Not at all. Zechariah 1:14, "So the angel that communed with me said unto me, Cry thou," this is Zechariah speaking, "saying, Thou, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I'm jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy." I love Alex Jones, but he doesn't see this. He doesn't understand the spiritual significance of the nation of Israel. And he doesn't like it that Israel's going to take over Hamas. That's the promised land, friends. Doesn't like it they may bomb Iran. God is angry with the regime of Iran, not the people, but the regime. He's jealous. And you who are saved, he's jealous with a great jealousy. And again, in Zechariah 8:2, God wants to tell you why he wants you who have become his own, separated by the gospel. He wants you to be separated from anyone or anything. Listen to me. He's jealous of anyone, listen to me, or anything that diminishes your love for him. He's jealous. He wants you to be separated from that. He wants you to separate from anyone or anything that divides you from his wonderful fellowship and communion that you can have with him. So you need to ask yourself that. Is this thing in any way going to diminish my love for? Brother Steve Manning says it. God has one thing he really wants. He loved you and paid for you. He wants you to love him back with all your heart. And he's jealous of anything that divides your heart. And it says in the Bible here, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury." I wouldn't give you a flip for the love of a husband that is not jealous for his wife. The third reason why he wants you separated for himself, firstly, because he paid a great price for you. Secondly, because you're a prized possession as for him. And thirdly, because he gets the glory for what he has done for you. Some of you might say that wanted praise and glory for do something. Isn't that wrong? I want praise. I want glory. Isn't it wrong? I want praise. I want glory. Yes, it's wrong because I don't deserve it. And neither do you. But is it wrong to glorify God who made everything? Who we owe, he owes us nothing to bless you? Is that wrong? For you to be grateful? Some of you need to praise him and thank him more. Amen. And before you ask him and say, "My name is Jimmy, I'll take all you can give me," praise him and thank him. Because that's the third reason. In fact, here's what the Bible says in Ephesians 1, verse 6. It says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." He has now placed us in union with His beloved eternal Son. And is that wrong for us to praise Him and glorify Him? What are they doing in heaven? They're doing a lot of praising. Like my mother said, I went to Disney World. It was so beautiful. I thought it was so nice, so beautiful. Can you imagine that looks like a ghetto compared to heaven? Can you imagine being there as His son, as His bride? And not praising Him for that? You see, when you don't live a separated life, you're going against praising God and giving God the glory. My father-in-law loved to give us gifts. My father-in-law was one of the most generous men I've ever met. My wife's dad, Harry Leeser, Harry Franklin Leeser. What a guy. He came from kind of a poor situation on a farm, but had a tough life as a kid. His dad, tough guy. But boy, my father-in-law, he was generous. I remember one time we were down there and we just wanted to get a Burger King because we'd been eating big roasts. My father-in-law had struck it rich. He had a business in the millions, and he sent my wife to college, Christian college, because she wanted to go there. He wasn't even saved, but he just was generous. And he bought us a car, right in the driveway, a nice car, red Chevy. Bought that car for our kids to go back. I remember when we needed a house, he sold some apartments, and he used the excuse, "Oh, you managed apartments for me, I got to give you a bonus." 17 grand gave me so we could do the down payment for the house up there in Clark Summit. I could give other illustrations, but we don't have time. I'm out of time. I'm over time now. I got to wrap it up. But he used to say this. He'd say, "I want to give it to you before I go so I can see the smile on your face." You know what? God gave you salvation, and with salvation, He lavishes you with things so He can see the smile. And so He can receive gratitude from you, praise from you. So God wants that, and He wants you separated from anyone or anything that diminishes your ability to praise Him, to praise Him. There are things you're doing you don't feel like praising God, and He's jealous of that. He wants you separated from that tonight. And He wants you to know. And so you should praise the Father. Why? Because the Father planned your salvation. He wanted your salvation. And He was willing to give His own Son for it. You should praise the Son because He came and was humiliated and went through it. And you should praise the Hound of Heaven, the Spirit. But He wouldn't give up on you until He drew you to faith in Christ. Betsy, you got a short sleeve shirt on? It's not that bad. Here she is. Just be thankful you're not going where it's really hot. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed. God, why should you be a separatist? Because God paid a great price for you. Why should you be a separatist? Because you're His prized possession. Why should you be a separatist? Because He saved you. Because you should just praise His grace for it. Not any man. Paul said, don't praise Apollos or me. We're just servants. We're just servants. That's all we are. We're as crooked as a dog's hind leg. We don't deserve. I don't deserve to be here. All right, let's bow. I wonder tonight, you say, "Preacher, I really see in a new light the reason for separation. And it should motivate me to live a separate life." And by the grace of God, I'm going to seek to do that. And I would encourage you to listen to this message again and to pray about it. But tonight, I want to pray for you. If you've God spoken to your heart about separation, would you raise your hand? Just raise it up and I'll see it. You say, Pastor, I'm going to seek to live a separated life. Amen, 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 amen. Thank God for that. Let's pray together. And I'm going to ask that we stand as we pray and the invitation is given. Would you come to the altar so I can pray for you? And I'm asking that Kana come to the altar. If we can get Kana for baptism. Is she ready? Okay, she's ready. We've got that. So I'm going to ask that we come to the altar to pray before Kana's baptism and ask God to help us to remember these things so that we can live a separated life for Him and with the right reason. Amen, Lily. Praise God. Thank you, Lily. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege to be amongst the people of God. Lord, forgive us for our ingratitude. Forgive us for our forgetfulness. Forgive us, Lord, for our lack of separation in light of all that you've shown us. Father, help these that have come especially. Give them grace, Lord. They've come for prayer to live that separated life. Bless them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, we're going to have a baptism. She's getting changed, getting her robe on. I don't know if they can get a robe small enough for her. I got to see that. But anyway, however she's going to be set, let's sing this song that we like to sing when we see somebody get saved. And it's so great. One of the kids in our family, and Joanne and Elgin's daughter, and also in our Christian school, thank God for that. She's a pleasure at a Christian school. She's in first grade, doing a lot of great stuff. I go by that class, and they are learning a lot. I see it. It's awesome. So Kana Gano getting baptized tonight, trusted the Lord Monday night. And she came up to me Tuesday, and she said, Pastor, I got saved. And I was so touched by that. All right, let's sing it. Has a great kindergarten teacher. All right, let's sing it in first grade. You gonna play it? All right, go ahead. Okay. Yep. That'll help me.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me, bought me with His redemption.